97.5 The Fanatic.
One more hour to go here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thanks for hanging out with us until 10 o'clock. Connor Thomas producing and co-hosting today. I'm Tyler Zulli taking you here on The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Another Elite Eight team has punched its ticket as the 2004 Patriots win on both the phones and on the Twitter poll by a vote of 64-36 over the 1991 Washington Redskins. Any shock in that one? You think it's a little bit of a recency bias, or would you have picked the 04 team over the 91 team as well?
See, that's a tough one. I would have had to do a little bit of a deeper dive. For me, I think it's going to be a tough one for us to determine in our market because we've got the 04 Patriots versus the Eagles. Like, we look at that, but...
Versus the who? Oh, so you're telling me we can't separate? We can't be objective?
No. You know, breaking news. Philadelphia has trouble being objective when it comes.
They moved on. We got an objective call and objective tweets. Maybe. I don't know if I would have picked the... I think I may have picked the 91 Redskins. That just looking at those defensive numbers.
There's an argument on both sides there. It would have been a tough one to call.
It was a pretty good matchup. And I mean, there's a reason that it was a 2-3 matchup.
But that's also where you start getting the legend of Tom Brady truly starts coming into its own. There's something to be said for that, for the Patriots. And looking at each team in a bubble, not playing each other, there begins to be that air of invincibility around that Patriots team.
All right, fair enough. I think that you're probably right. There's an argument on both sides, and I guess that's the best that we can do, because I think that objectivity has been pretty good so far, other than the 2017 Eagles beating the 72 Dolphins in the first round. I think that was just crazy talk, but we've been pretty good at this so far. So we'll continue this thing throughout the night. We'll continue it tomorrow as well. I'll be back with you at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon from 4 to 8. So we will continue into the Elite Eight after that. Now, one thing we got into before the break was the fact that we as Eagles fans, and I say we, I mean Connor and myself and our generation. So think, when I say our generation, think, 30 and under? 20 to 30? Is probably a pretty fair estimate. 20 to 30 is our generation. Have been extremely spoiled when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, extremely, extremely spoiled. Connor, you dug up some numbers during the break to talk about that exact thing and how we've never really seen a non-bounce-back season from the Eagles.
Yeah, exactly. So before the break, I promised I was going to look up the benchmark I kind of set was a 6 or 7 win team as a good season for the Eagles, or an acceptable one. That's one where there have been years where a 7-9 team has been a playoff team. So we're going to accept that as good enough. So what I did is I went through for the last 25 years. It's a nice round number. It also essentially gives us Tyler and I's lifetime, the lifetime of anyone who's a 20 to 30 year old Eagles fan, and looked at seasons where the Eagles won. We even did 6 or less games. And then followed that up and saw what they did the following year. So the seasons that we have, we're going to go from most recent going back. The most recent bad Eagles team was in 2012, last year of Andy Reid's tenure here in Philadelphia. Team went 4-6. Followed it up in 2013, first year of Chip Kelly's tenure. Four and twelve. My mistake.
4-6 is not too bad.
4-6 not too bad, but no, 4-12. And then followed that up in 2013 with a 10-6 season. They won the NFC East. Going back after that, it was 2005. So that's 7 years in between. And even in 2005, they went 6-10. Not a terrible year, but they followed that up in 2006 with another 10-6 record, won the division. Right there, two bounce back years winning the division after those bad seasons. The only other times there was a period of 3 straight years since 1995. So 1997, they went 6-9. 1998, they went 3-13. 1999, they went 5-11. But they followed up that stretch. They draft McNabb, and they go 2000, 11-5, win the division. 2001, 11-5, win the division. 2002, 12-4, win the division. 2003, 12-4, win the division. 2004, 13-3, win the NFC, go to the Super Bowl. Went to the NFC Championship game 4 out of 5 years following that up. That's crazy.
That doesn't happen. When you talk about I mean, think about it this way. There was the conversation for the longest time that was if you look at the winning percentages of the teams that have not won the Super Bowl in the 2000s, I think that was always the common thread, was the 2000s. The Eagles' winning percentage was always the highest of the teams that have never won the Super Bowl. It was always the Eagles. It was the Eagles, and it was the Chargers. Those were always one and two. It amazes me that we could ever think that things are bad, other than the fact that they never won a Super Bowl up until, you know, 2017. Things were not bad in our lifetime.
No, absolutely not. I just did some quick math here. So looking at just, and I cut it even, we were doing six wins. I cut it even to 500 seasons or better. Since 1995, 72% of Eagle seasons have been 500 or better.
I'm genuinely curious, and I'm not going to put you on the spot. We'll talk about it during the break. Genuinely curious, how many teams have a better number than that since 95? I mean, there to me, off the top of my head, I've got to think New England's better.
Right.
Just because of their stretch.
I'd say the Packers.
I would probably agree with the Packers. I would probably say the Colts. Although 95 is stretching it because the years leading up to Manning were bad. The year in between Manning and Luck was abysmal. So maybe not. I'd be interested to see that number.
Well, maybe New Orleans too.
There were some bad years in New Orleans. So I don't know. I don't 100% know. But I would venture a guess it's not more than five or six. We'll crunch the numbers during the next break, you and I, Connor, and we'll figure this thing out. 610-632-0975. We've really kind of had an open forum today. We've had a couple of show topics that we wanted to get into, but we've kind of gone all over the place with different conversations. It's been a lot of fun so far. So we're going to keep things moving in a open forum style direction. We'll continue the Super Bowl championship bracket, the NCAA style bracket. Also, we're going to continue the conversation on, is there a show or a movie that you have either never seen and have no interest in seeing, or watched and are one of the few people that don't enjoy? So one that continues to come up, and Tom, I'm going to apologize for probably butchering your last name, but Tom Shamanek, I believe is his last name, puts The Sopranos as well. That's the third time we've gotten The Sopranos today. We've gotten House of Cards, Better Call Saul. I said the Breaking Bad was mine. Connor, can you remind me of what yours was?
Yeah, so I went with Sopranos too. I'm going to switch that up though, because a lot of people are going Sopranos. I feel like that's a common one. Another one for me that I'm going to catch a lot of crap for, especially people right around our age group, maybe a little older. Never got into Seinfeld. Never seen an episode of Seinfeld.
Thank you. And you know what? You've never seen. You could have left that "never seen it" part out. I get killed for this. I can't stand Seinfeld.
You don't think it's funny at all?
I don't think it's funny at all.
See, from what I hear, I could see myself being into it, but nothing. I've just never got around. I've never gotten up to actually searching down episodes and watching them.
Maybe it's a generational thing, because it was kind of past its prime when you and I were able to. I mean, it was over by the time you and I were able to understand it, but it was past its prime by the time you and I were really watching TV. Maybe it's a generational thing. I know Tyrone swears by it. Mikey Miss swears by it. It's just not for me. I don't get enjoyment out of the show. Again, you know, we talked about it with Pat Egan. The laugh track thing's kind of creepy. I think laugh tracks are super creepy. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But I'm glad you said it, because I didn't want to be the one to say it.
Yeah, crucify me. Tyler totally doesn't agree. If you disagree, come after me.
Oh, no, I agree. I will.
I'm trying to protect
admit.
You here, man.
You don't have to.
You got to be careful. That Seinfeld fandom, they'll come down hard.
They are pretty pretty intense in their fandom. They love that show. So 610-632-0975. That's kind of been the conversation on the docket. We were just discussing the Eagles, so we'll get to Brandon in Hanover next. He wants to talk some Birds football. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, guys, just really enjoying this show today.
Oh, thank you.
Just a note before I get to my point. Are you you folks are on generally till midnight every night except tonight when you're on.
So we personally will be on until 10 o'clock, but the Checkpoint Radio takes over at that point. They're on from 10 to 12.
Okay. But just as a station.
As a station, usually, almost every night during the week and most weekend nights, we are on till midnight, yes.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate it, especially now, because I listen to you folks every day.
Oh, thank you. You know what, and Brandon, we appreciate you saying that, because it's been some trying times over the last couple of days. We really have enjoyed connecting with you guys and having fun conversations.
So this is going to be great. Look, I couldn't agree with you guys more on the Eagles. I've been an Eagles fan since 1990. First started listening to sports then. I'm 39 now, and 1990 to 95, even then, they had the playoff game there in New Orleans that they won, and they went to San Francisco. They lost a second round playoff game too. You know, a first round playoff game too. So we've been spoiled over even 30 years of teams that have been successful. And I think that's why winning the Super Bowl in 2018 was such a triumph to kind of think about. What's it been like to not so much to fail, but to come up short?
Right, that's the thing. They weren't failure seasons, but they were not pinnacle seasons either.
And then there's that hump that we finally got over the top. And I think about quarterbacks like Bobby Hoying connecting with wide receivers like Irving Fryer. I mean, yep. Irving Fryer, remember, said this was one of the best franchises he ever played with in the 1990s. And he played with the Dolphins, I think a couple of other teams.
Yep.
Great receiver. And Irving Fryer loved playing in Philadelphia. And he wasn't here real long. And I remember Randall Cunningham getting hurt from the 90s on. I really wasn't watching the Eagles when he was in his prime there. But I remember the 4-0 season where they beat the Jets when he got hurt, and then the season went to crap. But they beat the Cowboys. That was a nice
still finished 10-6 that year.
That was a great memory. So look, we are spoiled.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And since the Browns, we're not in the Browns territory or the Bengals territory or those other guys where we've never sniffed success even when we never reached the postseason.
Yep. All right, so Brandon, I do truly appreciate the phone call. Before we let you go, I'm going to give you this bracket-style matchup that we've been doing all day. You have the two-seeded 1993 Cowboys versus the three-seed 1975 Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, the Steel Curtain, outstanding with that defense. But boy, it's really tough to pick against that Cowboys.
That was probably the best of the Cowboys championship of the 90s.
I can't stand the Cowboys. I'm going to have to pick the Cowboys.
Wow. All right, Brandon, thank you so much for the phone call. You know what? I am truly impressed by the objectivity tonight of the Philadelphia caller. That's the second time that the caller has picked the 93 Cowboys, and both callers have given the caveat saying, I hate the Cowboys, but that's impressive. I got to give you guys a lot of credit. You not going there, Connor?
We'll see when we get there. I'm going to do a lookup. If it comes down to my vote,
I think
can't promise objectivity as much. I'll have to look. I'll try and fight it for the good of the exercise. I'll do my best, but it's so hard.
I think it may come down to your vote. The Twitter poll is now officially up on my Twitter. We'll get it up on the Fanatic Twitter as well. I think it's probably going to come down to your vote, because I think the fans are going to try to vote out the Cowboys. But we've gotten a good job so far of voting for the good teams. I think voting for almost all of the right teams. And I say right, that's my opinion. I try to be objective, but I also say right as my opinion.
Go ahead, Tyler. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Let us know what the one team that comes to mind that you think was wrongly voted on is.
The 2017 Philadelphia Eagles. You cannot tell me. Listen, I love that team. I'm going to do the caveat thing. I love that team to death. We all sat here on the Fanatic leading up to the Super Bowl, and we all said, I give my right arm. I would give my car up. I'd give adult activities up. You know, we all said these things. They win the Super Bowl, we're thrilled. But how can you pick against the 72 Dolphins? In the first round, later down the line, if they lose to the 85 Bears, the 93 Cowboys, okay, we'll live with it.
I mean,
how can you pick against the only team in NFL history that didn't lose a game?
But you look at the Eagles, and not just playing devil's advocate here, you face arguably the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yep.
Inarguably, I mean, not even arguably, you can say objectively, his greatest championship performance that he's ever put up and the greatest in Super Bowl history.
Very likely.
And you beat him. With all the injuries they went through that year and a backup quarterback and everything. I don't mean to hark on the Nick Foles thing because we've all had that conversation for millions of hours. But there's an argument there.
I think there's an argument for the 2017 Eagles against a lot of these teams. And I mean, I truly mean a lot of them. I mean, you weren't here when we started the round of 32, but if you could go through the list of the 32 teams and you pair them up against the 2017 Eagles, I know that I would find at least half of the teams the 2017 Eagles would have beaten. I know that for a fact. And again, when we say beaten, we don't mean in a one-on-one, we're going to put these two teams on the field together and see what happens. I mean, comparing the seasons, comparing how they got there, comparing the Super Bowl victories, I get that. I really do. But how can you justify eliminating the only team in the history of the NFL to win every game from start to finish? Because you and I agree, the greatest football team ever assembled was the 2007 Patriots. They were the juggernaut of the NFL. They didn't win the Super Bowl. If they did, if they had beaten the Giants, there's no doubt in my mind they would have been the one seed in this tournament.
So doesn't that kind of argue for the fact that maybe going undefeated isn't as important as it seems?
No, it certainly is, because that would have moved the Dolphins to the two seed. So let me ask you this. Objectively, we have to play objectively. I have to do it. If the 07 Patriots had beaten the Giants in the 2007 Super Bowl, 2008 Super Bowl, and they were the one seed in this tournament, and they went up against the 32-seeded 2017 Eagles, are you picking the 2007 Patriots?
It's tough because I've got to look at how they would have won that football game. If they're winning it on another Vinatieri field goal and they're playing a wild card Giants team with Eli Manning at quarterback and it takes them down to a field goal to beat that team, like, you can look at the Patriots team that the Eagles beat in 17 and say they put up one of the great championship performances on offense that you'll ever see.
Okay.
Maybe the greatest. And they were outdueled.
Correct.
Like, there's arguments on either side. These are all championship teams. And that,
but we're not arguing that team. We're arguing the 07 team.
I know we're not arguing that team, but if the 07 team, if you look at their championship performance, and in reality they didn't beat the Giants, but if they barely beat that Giants team, that's a wild card team,
okay,
as opposed to an Eagles team that was potentially, like, you can look at them on paper as being undermatched against that Patriots team. We know they were underdogs the whole way, so they were undermatched, and they ended up putting up with one of the greatest offensive onslaughts in the history of the game, not just the Super Bowl, and won that game. That stands up to me that there's an argument in favor of that 17 Eagles team.
Okay, so if the 2007 Patriots do win the Super Bowl, they win 21-17, right? They find a way to get down the field and score. They don't lose 17-14, they win 21-17. I can't justify taking a then 19-0 football team. Forget 15-0. 15-0 is good enough. But you're taking a then 19-0 football team and still going to tell me that the 2017 Eagles, you would pick them over that team?
I think there's an argument there.
I think you're crazy, but that's why we have Sports Talk Radio. It's the beauty of this, because we're going to go to break and we're going to talk and everything's going to be good because we leave the argument in the studio. I think you're crazy on that one. 610-632-0975. The latest poll is up. And Connor, we've got 4 minutes, but we might need you. 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas is producing and co-hosting tonight. I'm Tyler Zuli. We're taking you up until 10 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, it's come to my attention that Connor Thomas and I will never agree on anything ever. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's what makes good Saturday night late night radio here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I wish, I gotta tell you, I don't think we can recreate it, because I'm not a big believer in recreating conversations and recreating arguments just for radio's sake. I think it becomes fake at that point. I wish we would have been able to save the argument that you and I had during the break for this segment.
Hey, first off, so just a couple minutes ago, we agreed on that whole stretch of Eagles greatness and how awesome it's been to be an Eagles fan during this time. We agree on stuff. We agree on stuff all the time, even off air. We're actually, and we've talked about this in previous shows we've done together, we're actually pretty comparable in what we feel about a lot of sports. Just something about you getting into that host studio and me being in the producer studio, this pane of glass between us, it just differs our opinions so much.
I know you can't come get me from in here.
Yeah. Hey, oh, okay. That's what I did.
You know what's pretty funny, too? Like, what you just said is spot on. Because you and I have not worked together very long. You know, we've not crossed paths for all that long. You've been here a while now, but it's not been years. Like, I've worked with some other people. You and I have a really easy conversation, a really easy friendship, like a really easy get along. I think you and I kind of took to each other pretty quickly because we are very comparable. We're baseball guys. We're both, we're both into the conversation. We have the same conversations. We kind of argue back and forth the same way. I think you and I very quickly became friends here. So when this happens, it's funny because it goes from 0 to 100 so fast. Like I said, it's not a bad thing. It makes for good radio.
Yeah, it would be an interesting psychological study because we have the same thought process on a lot of stuff. But for some reason, when we're pushed to getting behind the mic and putting a concrete opinion out there, and there's no other like, maybe you're right, you got to actually take a stand, we end up on the opposite side almost every single time.
Nothing wrong with that. 610-632-0975. Speaking of taking a stand, I'm going to need you to take a stand right now because our vote is split on this Sweet 16 matchup that will put a team in the Elite Eight. Our caller, I think correctly picked the 2-seeded 1993 Dallas Cowboys to beat the 3-seeded 1975 Pittsburgh Steelers. Twitter, on the other hand, vehemently disagrees. The Pittsburgh Steelers have 73% of the vote, as the vote is now officially closed. So we leave it up to our deliberator, Connor. You have the final say. I cannot veto. I cannot change. Who moves on to the Elite Eight?
So I know I said I was going to try and be objective. And
listen, this is two good teams. I think that your objectivity here could go either way, to be fair.
Here's the way that I'm ultimately going to look at it. This may not be the right way to do it, but it's the way I'm choosing to. You gave me the authority to make this pick, so I'm going to pick it this way.
Yours.
Cowboys, Steelers, however you feel about them as franchises, two of the most storied franchises in the history of the National Football League.
Correct.
So I'm going to look at, without encyclopedic knowledge of each team, and without the ability to go back and watch the All-22 for the entirety of those two teams' historic seasons and their runs to Super Bowl championships, I'm going to look at where they stand within the realm of their own franchises, where those teams stand as opposed to the other great Cowboys and Steelers teams.
Okay, so you're going to compare it. So let me ask you, I will let you finish, of course. You're basically laying it out. Are the 93 Cowboys the best Cowboys team ever versus are the 75 Steelers the best Steelers team ever?
Essentially.
Okay.
Essentially, because I do think in the grand scheme of things, those franchises are very, very comparable. I've got to go 93 Cowboys. They're on a different...
Wow, okay.
They're... it's just that Steelers, there have been a lot of great Steelers teams, and the 75 team, they don't get lost in the shuffle. Obviously, they're in this bracket. They're close to being in the Elite Eight. But that 93 Cowboys team, even among the great Cowboys teams, it stands out. I mean, the other Cowboys teams that we had in this bracket, we had the 77 team. We had...
Didn't win a game.
95.
Also did not win a game.
But this 93 team is... For people around our age, we talked about Eagles fans around 20 to 30, maybe even put that up to 40. For people around our age that followed the National Football League, this is the Cowboys team.
This is the Jimmy Johnson, how about them Cowboys football team.
And as much as I hate them, as much as I hate to hear how about them Cowboys and America's team and all of that crap, that's the team.
All right, there you go. 610-632-0975. It's funny that you brought up the scope of... You know, within the, it's for the franchise itself, because there are, I mean, in NFL history, what are the, let's say the first three franchises that come to your mind when we talk about like legitimate dynasties?
It's got to be Packers, Cowboys, Steelers.
Okay. So I would go, personally, I would go Cowboys, Steelers, 49ers, but going Packers is fine. I think that there's probably, if I would ask you three, there's probably five teams you could pick. It's those four and the New England Patriots. Because recently their dynasty has been enough. You know, you think about dynasties, the 60s it was the Packers. In the 70s it was the Steelers. The 80s the Niners. In the 90s, the beginning of the 90s it was the Cowboys. And in the 2000s it was the New England Patriots. So I think that that's enough to justify a dynasty.
I totally agree with you. The reason I didn't think Patriots and I wouldn't pick Patriots in that given question, I think it's right to give history a little bit of time to breathe.
Okay.
So I think in 10 years or so, we're going to be able to look back and have even a different reverence for this stretch the Patriots went on. It's so fresh and may not be over. We're still trying to figure out where Tom Brady's going to go and what that team's going to turn into over the next couple of years. I need to give it more time to breathe before I put it in the same air. Not because they don't have the accomplishments, but because the ability to look back lends so much more to the evaluation of a football team and a dynasty.
That's interesting that you said that, because when you think of these dynasty teams, you think of the quarterback that was at the helm for a large majority of the regular season, or of the franchise, I should say, you know, the dynasty run. If Tom Brady goes and plays for the LA Chargers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Vegas Raiders, does this change the mindset of the dynasty of the New England Patriots?
You mean like how people...
So let's look at it twofold. On the surface, right now, does it change the mindset? And secondly, does it change the mindset of history?
So you'll never be able to take it away. I think historically, you'll always look back and say, what is going to be? In my mind, and I've long thought about it this way, it's going to be the combination of Brady and Belichick. Now, the biggest thing to look at, if Brady goes elsewhere and he has success, it changes that dynamic. It takes a little bit of the austere away from one side or the other. Whichever side has the more success, if one side has prevalent success following this breakup, if it does indeed happen. I think if you look back at the actual dynasty, it won't change it historically, because that combination worked better than any combo in the history of the NFL, you could argue.
So it's really just the optic right now. And I think that that's a fair assessment. Now, we've talked a lot tonight about the teams that we didn't get a chance to personally see. We more along the lines watch the teams that, you know, we watch them in... recap form and highlight form and in box score form. We've done all this. This is really the first dynasty that our generation got a chance to watch. I wonder what the optic is going to be for our particular generation versus the grand scheme of things. When we talk about the generation that was before us that did get a chance to see the 70s Steelers and the 80s 49ers and the 70s Cowboys and the 90s Cowboys, even maybe going back to the 60s Green Bay Packers, I'd be curious to know the landscape of how this plays out between us you know, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30-year-olds versus somebody in their 50s or their 60s. 610-632-0975. So we will continue this this bracket as we move along. The 1993 Dallas Cowboys are the first ones, or the next ones, I should say, to join the fold. We have three brackets left. Three spots in the Elite Eight left. I hope we can get to them by the end of the night. We've got about 25 minutes left to do so. 610-632-0975. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Mike in Cherry Hill up next. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, I know you guys broke story.
Yes.
97's always on it. But I was listening to that game, man. I was listening to the game, and it was the, it was the last game the 76ers played.
Yes, it was.
It was against the Detroit Pistons.
Yes, sir.
And I just got off the phone. I called you guys up because Christian Wood, who had a career night that night, has contracted the virus.
Yes.
And so if he contracted it from playing against the Utah Jazz, it's not a far stretch to say that possibly a 76er may have contracted it. What are your feelings about that?
You know, you're right, Mike. It's not outside of the realm of possibility. The Sixers have self-quarantined since Thursday. But that's the thing. We kind of talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the show, where if you break it down, you know, team by team, you know, of course, it starts from the Utah Jazz. That's kind of where we first see it happen. Now, Christian Wood is said to have tested positive for it. When you look at the teams that the Utah Jazz have played over the last 2 weeks, I believe they played five teams. The Detroit Pistons are one of them. But when you look at the Jazz and those five teams over the span of 2 weeks, every single team in the NBA has been connected in some way by the Utah Jazz. And Christian Wood now is, of course, just the latest name to test positive for the coronavirus.
Well, I think this has far-reaching circumstances. You know, how likely is the league to start if players can get the virus from playing with one another?
Sure.
I think that's going to, listen, man, these NBA players love the game, but if it means possibly contracting a virus, would you want to play in a game?
No, and believe me, Mike, I've been very adamant over the last couple of weeks, or I should say the last couple of days, I shouldn't say weeks, of this suspension should go on as long as it is necessary to, and then maybe some. Because you're 100% correct. I would rather be extra cautious than start this thing back up too early.
Well, I think that this has far-reaching values for people like you and your occupation. I'm just a fan. I know you're a fan, but you draw income from
sure.
talking about sports. I just feel like, in reality, do we really think that sports is going to start back up if this type of contact allows people to get this transmitted disease? I mean, getting a concussion is one thing, but getting a virus, is that worth playing a game?
No, and Mike, you're 100% correct. Mike, I appreciate the phone call. Real quick, I know that we just had a serious conversation. And you're 100% correct. Would you like to have a little bit of a lighter conversation and be a part of the bracket?
Yes, that's part of what your role is, and I appreciate your role.
Sure.
Keeping us a little bit enlightened and humorous about,
okay.
I mean, just remembering that the world is bigger than a pandemic.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so let's have some fun. We're doing a Super Bowl team matchup. So this is a 5-seed versus an 8-seed. The 1986 New York Giants versus the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. I'm just talking out loud here.
Sure.
So the 86 Giants had a great coach, and had a great game manager, and they had a great defense with
Lawrence Taylor
and many others. And they also, one of my favorite players of all time, O.J. Anderson, was on that team, I believe, as
okay.
well. Okay. That's the team that won when the guy Norwood missed the field goal, right?
No, that was actually the 90 Giants. They've already been eliminated.
Okay, the 86 was that first Super Bowl.
Yeah,
okay, okay.
They would have beaten the, let's take a look real quick just to be safe.
Was it the Buffalo? Who did they beat?
They beat in the Super Bowl. They beat the Denver Broncos, 39-20.
Right. Okay. Okay. And then who were the team you're matching up against?
The 2017 Eagles.
The one that shocked the world. Oh, yeah, the Eagles. What are you talking about?
There you go, Mike. Mike, thanks for the phone call, man. We appreciate it. I kind of had a feeling that might happen.
The second he realized the Eagles were up, it was game over.
You know what? The funny thing is, too, he was talking up the '86 team, and I'm like, "Yep, this is a good team, good team, good team." The minute I said the 2017 Eagles, he's like, "That's it, we're taking the Eagles." So the Eagles were taken on the phones. We'll see what happens. I just put the poll up on my Twitter account, and we will retweet it on the station account as well, 610-632-0975. I have a feeling that this one's going to be a runaway as well. Dave and Mount Laurel, you'll be the first one up on the other side. We've got one more segment to play with. Connor Thomas producing and co-hosting tonight. I'm Tyler Zulli, taking you up until 10 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
One more segment here on 97.5 The Fanatic before we turn things over to the guys at Checkpoint Radio from 10 to 12. Tyler Zulli and Connor Thomas holding things down here on a Saturday night. Having a lot of fun. We're doing our bracket. We're having some Eagles conversation. That's really what it's manifested into, is kind of an Eagles talk. And more so along the lines of, you know, guys that are my age and guys that are Connor's age have been super spoiled over the last few years as to watching this Eagles team, because they've been so good for so long, and so many of the years, I should say. Maybe not so long, but for so many of the years. I mean, there's been so few down years with the Eagles as a whole in our lifetime. We've been pretty spoiled. Let's get back to the phones. We'll go to Dave and Mount Laurel up next. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for making the call.
Along the lines of what you were just saying as being spoiled Eagles fans, my wife learned football when we first met, and I would say, so that's like 13 years ago. If you just look at football in general, there's been amazing things in that past, 13 years or so. Like the fact that there was almost an undefeated team, and all the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, and running back the opening kickoff for a touchdown, Hester. There's just been so much ridiculous football. The people are spoiled.
Yeah, no, I think that you're right. I think that not only just the Eagles, but when we talk at football as a whole, it's been a really, really good product over the last couple of years. You mentioned a lot of good moments. I mean, there's so many more to think of. I mean, just go back to the '90s, Music City Miracle, the 1 yard short of a touchdown. You know, you talk about the Butler interception in the end zone to save it for the Patriots, coming back from 28-3. So many good moments over the course of just our lifetimes in general.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. What do you got on the dynasties?
So, I was working, so I haven't been a part of the whole conversation. I just heard you talking about dynasties, and, as a football fan in general, back in the day, and I don't remember if it was the 50s or what, but Otto Graham went to like 10 championships in a row.
Yes, with the Cleveland Browns.
So, I know it's, not Eagles or whatever, but going to a championship game 10 years in a row or something very similar to that is pretty remarkable, and I don't think that would be anything that would ever be repeated. So I would look at that as a dynasty, even though it's not a Super Bowl era dynasty.
Yeah, Dave, and I totally agree with you on that. Now, we were talking earlier about with the Patriots dynasty, how you almost have to let dynasties breathe a little bit so that we can look back on them with a proper reference. Do you feel like that Otto Graham dynasty was almost too long ago to stand up, or do you still hold that in the same regard as the dynasties in the more modern NFL?
I don't I look at them separately because the game has changed. So I look at it as a dynasty is based on, you know, like results. And the, at the time, they were that good over everyone else playing. So to me, that makes them hold up because they were that much better than everyone else.
Yeah, you know, it's great that you say that because, Dave, my thought process on the dynasty is you can only look at the dynasty in the era that it was played. Because when you so many people have said, especially when we do this Super Bowl bracket, oh, well, if this team played that team, you know, they didn't play under the same rules. They weren't the same size. Guys were faster now. Guys didn't wear gloves back then. They had stick'em. You know, so it's really difficult to compare eras. So you can only look at dynasties for what they are on the surface of that dynasty. So
Of that era, yeah.
Yeah, Dave, real quick, before we get you out of here, we've got the final Elite Eight, or Sweet 16 matchup, I should say, to put a team in the Elite Eight. And it is a 2 seed versus a 3 seed. It is the 2 seed 1966 Green Bay Packers versus the 3 seed 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Was the 66 Packers the Ice Bowl?
That is a good question. Let me go back and take a look real quick so I don't lie to you. I don't want to make something up. The 66 Packers were 12-4. They won. That was Super Bowl. Looks like Super Bowl I against the Kansas City Chiefs. It was 35-10.
Oh, no, that wasn't.
No.
Yeah,
Super Bowl II was the Ice Bowl.
I'll go with the Steelers.
The 78 Steelers?
Yeah. I mean, that defense was incredible, but the Super Bowl I, you know, the Packers, like, I actually feel it's more of a Lombardi dynasty than, like it was more of...
Sure. A coaching dynasty than a player dynasty?
Yeah.
Dave, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for kind of wrapping things up with us for today. So, I don't necessarily disagree with him, but we did just mention dynasties within their own era. It's tough to say that it's strictly a coaching dynasty because they did truly have the best team at the time. I don't think there was an argument there to say that they weren't the best team between Hornig and Bart Starr. They had a bunch of guys that were two-way players. And yes, they had the coach.
Who coached that team again?
The guy that the Super Bowl trophy happens to be named after.
Was he any good?
He was okay. He has one playoff loss in his career.
Who was that to?
To the 60 Eagles. Wild, isn't it?
Pretty wild.
Speaking of dynasties, how about 48, 49, and 60 for the Eagles? It's not bad. I wouldn't say dynasty, but it's not bad. Pretty good run. Three championships in 12 years.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Of course you do. You were there. You and my host for This Week in Pro Football, Pat Callahan, you guys sat next to each other.
Yeah, me and Patty were elbow to elbow watching Lombardi go down.
Bought popcorn, of course.
It was a nickel back then.
That's all? Is that all it's doing for you? All right, so we're going to wrap things up here before we send things to Checkpoint Radio. So we have a couple of things to do in the next 90 seconds. The 2017 Eagles move on. Not really a shocker there. Just because if they're going to beat the 72 Dolphins, they're going to beat the 86 Giants. The 66 Packers, I know that the vote is early, but they have 80% of the vote. Did he take the Steelers? He took the Steelers. Okay, real quick, Connor. You are the deciding factor on that then. 66 Packers, 78 Steelers.
I got to disagree. I'm going to go with the Packers.
All right, Packers it is. The Packers move on. The first ever Super Bowl champion probably gets what they deserve and move on into the Elite Eight. Final one, because we did not get one more caller, we will give this one strictly to you. No tweets. I put the poll up, but no tweets, no callers. The 1981 6 seed San Francisco 49ers versus the 1974 7 seed Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I just went against the Steelers. I'm going to have to go with them here. That 74 team launched that mid-70s Steelers dynasty. It was the birth of that scary Pittsburgh defense. I mean, that team, sure, the 49ers, that 10-81 team's great, but it's that same old story, and partially for the sake of livening this up a little bit, and also because I do think that start of the Dynasty Steelers team does deserve to move on. We're going to go 74 Steelers.
Eight teams left. We'll continue this thing tomorrow at 4 o'clock when I get back on the airwaves. We've got the 17 Eagles, 93 Cowboys, 85 Bears, 66 Packers, the 84 Niners, the 04 Patriots, the 89 Niners, and the 74 Pittsburgh Steelers. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight for the last 3 hours. It was a lot of fun. Connor Thomas, you did an outstanding job doing double duty between producer and co-host. Thank you so much. A lot of fun talking with our boys Andrew Salchunas and Pat Egan throughout the night as well. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Coming up next, it's Checkpoint Radio. They'll take you until midnight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.